Good evening and welcome to the KRFP Evening Report for Tuesday, January 30th, 2024. I'm Lee Robartis in the news tonight. Constitutional amendment to end prohibition on taxpayer funding for religious education withdrawn from Idaho Legislative Committee. Voters in five Whitman County school districts will cast ballots by February 13th. On levy elections, and WSU student employees ratify contract after a short strike earlier in the month. We'll have details on those stories and more coming up on the KRFP Evening Report. You're tuned to KRFP Moscow Pullman and live in the KRFP studios in Moscow, Idaho. I'm Lee Robartis, and this is the KRFP Evening Report. The Idaho House State Affairs Committee decided today to hold a House joint resolution in committee aimed at removing the Blaine Amendment from the state constitution. Republican Representative Joe Palmer of Meridian said he supported Republican Representative Elaine Price's effort to change the state constitution by eliminating the prohibition of using taxpayer money to fund religious schools, but made a motion to hold it in committee, saying he had technical questions that he couldn't answer immediately. Palmer did not elaborate, and the committee voted to hold House Joint Resolution 1 in committee for now. Representative Price, who is from Coeur d'Alene, presented her resolution in the House State Affairs Committee, which would repeal a 134-year-old section of the state constitution called the Blaine Amendment, which prohibits the use of taxpayer money for religious indoctrination.
Blaine had a hatred for Catholic Irish immigrants and expressed his bigotry in this amendment. This was during a time when they were expanding the public schools. And in our case, I believe this may be true, that they we were trying to become states. States were trying to become states. So they had to petition Congress, and James Blaine had a lot of influence in Congress. So they added this amendment to their constitution to be able to gain statehood. Blaine wanted the public to deny funds to these Catholic Irish immigrants, and this solidified his discrimination towards them. This amendment is rooted in bigotry and discrimination. This has been turned into a separation of church and state. Idaho addresses the real form of separation in church and state in its state constitution. This resolution is just trying to get this discriminatory language out of our Constitution. I've heard the argument that each Blaine Amendment is different and must be litigated in each state on its own merits. To me, this seems a disadvantage to our state because we're asking our constituents to pay for a lawsuit that we know we're going to lose. If you look at our Blaine Amendment and look at Montana's Blaine Amendment, which has gone to the Supreme Court. It was decided in Espinoza versus Montana Department of Revenue. It specifically says that you cannot discriminate based on religious beliefs only.
That was Republican Representative Elaine Price of Coeur d'Alene. Republican Senator Brian Lenny of Nampa is co-sponsoring the joint resolution. In order to change the state constitution, two-thirds of the legislators from each chamber must vote to put the change before voters, who then can approve it during a general election by a simple majority. Democratic Representative John Gannon of Boise had some questions for Price about her effort to change the Idaho Constitution.
I think a big concern is that some taxpayers don't want to support various religions, or they may want to support one religion but not support another religion. And as a result, they're very concerned that if a bill like this, or if an amendment like this were to pass, then taxpayer money would support religions that maybe they don't believe in. and which they don't support. And a good example would be those who believe in faith healing as an alternative to treating their children with medical care. How do you respond to that?
Representative Price.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative. The First Amendment does not say that one religion is over another religion. It just states that you have the right to express and have your religion. So for anybody to want to discriminate against somebody based on their religion is just not constitutional. So, and I am going to revert back to the fact that that's not what we're discussing in this. We're discussing leaving it up to the constituents whether they feel this needs to be in the Constitution or not.
Follow up.
One other, yes, Mr. Chairman and Representative Price. So one other concern is that the fiscal note, if this were to pass, for example, if we were to have vouchers in Idaho, or if other, or the tax credit, I think there's a tax credit proposal being made, then, and religious institutions were eligible for that, it would seem like there would be an increase in expenditures. And so I'm just wondering if there's any kind of estimate out there on how much additional money would be, or how much additional monetary impact there would be on the general fund.
Representative Price.
Mr. Chair, Representative, that's not what this bill is dealing with. This resolution is talking about putting before the constituents whether they want to repeal the Blaine Amendment. That is not what you're concerned about, is not what this joint resolution is dealing with.
That was Republican Representative Elaine Price of Coeur d'Alene answering a couple of questions from Democratic Representative John Gannon of Boise. During public testimony, Grace Howitt of the right-wing religious group, the Idaho Family Policy Center, spoke in favor of the constitutional change, claiming secular people are anti-religious radicals.
My name is Grace Howitt, and I serve as a policy assistant for Idaho Family Policy Center. We support HJR1, and we thank the sponsors for bringing this resolution forward. According to Chief Justice John Roberts, the Blaine Amendment was born of bigotry and arose at a time of pervasive hostility to the Catholic Church and to Catholics in general. We couldn't agree more with him. The Blaine Amendment was meticulously conceived at the height of anti-Catholic bigotry, and today it is being weaponized by the anti-religion radicals on the secular left to target not only Catholic schools, but all faith-based schools. To make matters worse, the Blaine Amendment is not only backwards thinking, but according to the U.S. Supreme Court, it is also unconstitutional. By preventing religious schools from receiving otherwise available public funds due to their religious affiliations, the Blaine Amendment, or Blaine Amendments, violate the Supreme Court's free exercise jurisprudence in Espinoza versus Montana Department of Revenue and Carson versus Meckin. Despite these clear rulings from our nation's highest courts, we still have our Blaine Amendment in the Idaho Constitution, where it will surely result in continued religious discrimination as well as potentially expensive court challenges. It is time to ask the people of Idaho whether this backwards and unconstitutional provision should remain enshrined in our most sacred civil document.
And that was Grace Howitt of the Idaho Family Policy Center testifying at the Idaho House State Affairs Committee today. Here's some more of the testimony from today's committee meeting.
Mr. Chair, members, my name is Jean Henscheid. I stand on behalf of Kathy Dawes from Moscow, writer of this testimony, and myself in opposition to HJR 1. Idaho's Blaine Amendment is alive and well and must remain so because it serves the purpose it has always provided, to assure the separation of church and state, which our nation's founders defended. The Blaine Amendment is not, quote, a symbol of a prejudiced past that doesn't align with our current values, as claimed by one of the resolution sponsors in a recent news article. Rather, it is an essential part of our very democracy. The Idaho Supreme Court has only infrequently analyzed the Blaine Amendment, but in one 1971 case that took an in-depth look at it, Idaho justices wrote that they were, quote, impressed by the Blaine Amendment's, quote, restrictive language. The framers of Idaho's Constitution, quote, intended to more positively enunciate the separation between church and state than did the framers of the United States Constitution, justices wrote. Both of Idaho's recent attorneys general, Wasden and Labrador, have refuted the claim that Idaho's Blaine Amendment is dead. Since 2020, the Idaho Attorney General's office has held that the Supreme Court rulings involving the Blaine Amendment are state-specific, and whether any Idaho private school voucher program runs afoul of the Blaine Amendment will have to be settled in court on its own merits. If this resolution passes, the state will undoubtedly be subject to an expensive, taxpayer-funded lawsuit. We ask that you consider carefully the consequences of your vote today. Thank you. I stand for questions.
Thank you, Doctor. Are there questions? Representative Gannon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Dr. Henscheid, does the League of Women Voters or any other organizations or people or persons that you know of have a definition of religion for us to look at? What would be a legal basis for determining what a religion is? Do we have any of that kind of information?
Mr. Chair, I'm Representative Gannon. I need to be clear, I'm not representing the League of Women Voters of Idaho at this particular moment.
Okay.
But I do know that we don't, as far as I know, we do not have any particular definition of religion.
Thank you.
Any further questions? Seeing none, Doctor, thank you for your testimony today. Danny, state your name, who you represent. We'll give you 2 minutes today for public testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Danny Steinmeier. I'm the pastor of Truth Family Bible Church in Middleton, Idaho. And I stand in favor of this joint resolution. The main part of my testimony today is just to acknowledge that there are more things at stake than simply just education. Our church does face tangential issues related to this. However, my main testimony is related to what I believe is really important here, and that is the myth of neutrality. The Idaho state constitution begins with a preamble, as you are all familiar with, and the preamble identifies that we are giving thanks to Almighty God for the freedoms that we have, and then the laws that come from that are recognizing that God has given us a freedom and an individual freedom in order to organize and to create a state and to have laws. Those laws are under God, and the Constitution acknowledges God. I do find it interesting that a religious people in the state can be taxed by a government that identifies an acknowledgement of God and then says anyone who has a religious affiliation organization cannot benefit from that taxation. And so that's the basis for what I wanted to identify today. We are a people that are under God. Our Pledge of Allegiance identifies such as well. And so we are a religious people. There is actually no such thing as an irreligious people. And so when we're talking about appropriation of funding to supposed neutral or non-religious parties, I want to suggest to you that that is a myth. We are always supporting people with religious convictions. This world is filled with a religious affiliation one way or another. There is, of course, competing religions, but the reality of religious organizations cannot be denied, and so they should not be discriminated against solely on the basis of being a religious organization. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Are there questions? Representative Gannon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Pastor, it comes to mind that there are policies in place which provide that while students are going to a public school, there can be religious a religious based facility across the street or nearby where the students are released to go to those facilities and study their particular religion or engage in religious activities. Mm-hmm. And that many of the school districts have resolved that issue that way. In other words, the school, they provide the education for the kids, mm-hmm. and then those who have a religious affiliation and want to provide some of that education have a facility across the street at their own expense, and they provide the religion they believe in.
Sure.
What's wrong with that?
Pastor?
Well, thank you for your question. I don't think that there's anything wrong with that. What I would identify is that what is taking place in the school is not irreligious. It has a religious position. And turns out things like what a man and a woman is, what marriage is, turns out what biology is, has religious elements to it. And so what I would argue is that not only what is taking place across the street at a particular sectarian, in a sectarian form, I would argue that it is not neutral in the school itself also. There are religious foundations. Marxism, while having an atheistic underpinning, it has convictions that are inherently religious by nature, whether it's opposing a religion, but it's opposing religion with another form of an ultimate, whether that's a human being, whether that's a government, the state being, you know, the form of God, if you will. And so there's everything is religious, and I would just identify that. I use a phrase at my church, education is discipleship. It's just a matter of what are you discipling to, and there's always a God of the system.
That was some of the testimony before the Idaho House State Affairs Committee today on a House joint resolution to repeal the Blaine Amendment from the Idaho Constitution, which has been in effect for more than 100 years since statehood.
Hello, my name is Rowan Astra. I represent Satanic Idaho. I'm here to support this. Personally, I'm excited about the ability to truly represent religious plurality, which is a value that's upheld in Idaho and the United States of America. So I look forward to the opportunity to be able to start a Satanic K-12 performing arts school and being able to have access to the same funds that any other religious school would have. And with that, I'll end my testimony.
Thank you, Rowan. Are there questions for Rowan today? Seeing none, thank you for joining us. Next up, we'll go back to in-person. This is the last person I have signed up to testify is Catherine Hartley. Catherine, state your name and who you represent. We'll give you 2 minutes today for public testimony.
Thank you, Chairman and Committee, for having me today. My name's Catherine Hartley. I'm from Coeur d'Alene, and I'm an attorney for Pacific Justice Institute, and we specialize in First Amendment issues and including religious freedom. And we urge the committee to pass this resolution. The portion of our state constitution at issue today, if applied, is inconsistent with the First Amendment Establishment Clause as interpreted by the U.S. Supreme Court in numerous cases. As one of our current U.S. Supreme Court justices says, there's a common misconception that presumes states must be both completely separate from and virtually silent on matters of religion to comply with the Establishment Clause. But this is fundamentally incorrect. In fact, such a view of the Establishment Clause prohibits the free exercise of religion, which is one of our most fundamental freedoms coming out of the First Amendment. When government entities operate under a misguided belief that there must be strict separation of government and religion, this communicates a message that disfavors religion, and the First Amendment doesn't allow this. Another way to say this is when the state conditions a benefit on whether or not a person or an entity is religious, it is unconstitutional. But the portion of our constitution at issue makes this very condition. The state is supposed to be neutral on the issue of religion, and this is not neutral. This is hostile towards religion of all kinds and singles out the religious for disfavored treatment. As an example, the Supreme Court recently declared more than once that where a state made appropriations for educational purposes, the state could not discriminate against parents who chose to use those funds for religious purposes. Doing so would be a significant hindrance on the free exercise of religion. Instead, we must have neutrality in the law. The court has also been very clear that the First Amendment supersedes even more restrictive state laws and constitutions, such as in ours.
Catherine, you run out of time, so I'll need you to wrap it up.
Okay. Repealing this portion of our Constitution would be consistent with these recent Supreme Court decisions and importantly remove religious hostility from our Constitution. And for these reasons, I urge the committee to pass this resolution. Thank you.
Thank you, Catherine. Other questions for Catherine? Representative Barbieri.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Catherine, I'm curious what your legal perspective would be that if this provision was passed by the electorate, would that result in equal distribution of public funds to Satanists and other what we might call fringe religious beliefs or organizations?
Just to be careful, let's not label any one religion fringe or not
fringe. Fringe or not fringe.
Because
we're not going to label things
whatever
fringe.
Your particular flavor of religion is, someone might think
this
it's fringe.
This is the point, I think, Mr. Chairman.
Can you rephrase that question?
Yes. I'm just curious about the distribution of public funds to religious organizations. Some may be disfavored by the populace, maybe not disfavored, but the point is, what are we looking at here in terms of the distribution of public funds and the so-called equality of that distribution?
Catherine?
Chairman and Representative Barbieri, it would allow any religious group to utilize any benefit that's offered by the state. And obviously today we are not specifically talking about any specific benefit or bill or potential bill, but generally speaking, yes, it would be open to all faiths. Obviously with the, I would say safeguards that are within the law, meaning, a person has a right to the free exercise of religion. And the government can only step in if it has a compelling interest that's narrowly tailored, called strict scrutiny. So if someone's free exercise of religion is something so concerning that the state has a compelling interest in prohibiting it, the state has the ability to do that.
And that was some of the testimony in the House State Affairs Committee today on a House joint resolution that would remove the Blaine Amendment from the state constitution. Republican Representative Joe Palmer of Meridian said he supported the resolution from Representative Elaine Price of Coeur d'Alene to change the state constitution, but made a motion to hold it in committee, saying he had technical questions. Palmer did not elaborate on the technical questions, and the committee voted to hold House Joint Resolution 1 in committee for now. You're listening to the KRFP Evening Report. This is KRFP Moscow Pullman.
KRFP is supported by listeners like you and Rembrandt Tree Care, family-owned and operated since 1977. A conscientious approach to urban forestry with year-round tree service on the Palouse and surrounding areas. You can reach Rembrandt Tree Care at 509-330-0699.
KRFP thanks all of its donors and underwriters for helping make this programming possible.
The Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals today upheld their block on Idaho's law that makes it a felony punishable by 10 years in prison for doctors to give gender-affirming care to minors. The lawsuit over House Bill 71, which bans physicians from providing hormones, puberty blockers, or transgender-related surgeries to those under 18, is from the American Civil Liberties Union of Idaho and the REST Collective. U.S. District Judge B. Lynn Windmill last month prevented the law from taking effect. Idaho Attorney General Raul Labrador has promised to appeal to the U.S. Supreme Court. Republican Governor Brad Little announced Friday he is sending Idaho state troopers to the U.S.-Mexico border. In the past, Governor Little has sent Idaho troopers to the border to fight fentanyl. But this time, he said he will send troopers to focus on human trafficking. In either case, the governor's action is in tandem with the Trump camp using immigration as an election issue. Little said Friday he is declaring January, Idaho stands with Texas in securing the nation's border month. The Idaho Press reports the declaration was in response to a recent U.S. Supreme Court opinion that has allowed federal officials to remove razor wire barriers Texas law enforcement placed in the Rio Grande River. The Texas razor wire has arguably led to the drowning of several immigrants. During his State of the State address January 8th, Governor Little said, "We will work even harder to address the open border and its impacts because of the failure of the Biden-Harris administration to admit it's even a problem. Human trafficking is modern-day slavery. The cartel and other bad actors are taking advantage of our open border to manipulate and abuse the most vulnerable, including children." The U.S.-Mexico border issue is on course to be the biggest showdown between state and federal authorities since President Dwight D. Eisenhower federalized the Arkansas National Guard in 1954 to enforce the Supreme Court decision in Brown v. the Board of Education during the Civil Rights Movement. In the current situation, it is the Texas National Guard and the federal immigration officials who are at loggerheads. President Biden could federalize the Texas National Guard, but he would be opposed by 25 Republican governors, including Little, who have signed letters in support of Texas Governor Greg Abbott's razor wire diplomacy in the Rio Grande River. When Governor Little deployed Idaho State Police to the U.S.-Mexico border last year to fight fentanyl smuggling, it cost Idaho taxpayers $197,000. Whitman County Auditor Sandy Jameson has approved the use of thousands of election return envelopes, which were left over from the November general election. Jameson said she made the decision to use the election envelopes, even though the envelopes are still marked with the November 7th election date. Jameson said the November date will not affect the vote-by-mail special election scheduled for February 13th. Jameson said constituents should ignore the expired date and mail the envelopes for the February election with their ballots inside. The Daily News reports county elections officials mailed 22,000 ballots Friday, which include old return envelopes. When returning ballots, voters must make sure the ballots are postmarked by Tuesday, February 13th, in order to count. The mail-in election affects five area school districts, including Pullman, Colfax, La Crosse, St. John, and Cheney. All five districts are seeking public approval of various education and operational levies. Pullman School District voters will be asked to approve two levies, the first for an educational enrichment program, including an operations replacement school support levy for programs not paid for by the state. If approved, the measure would provide $6.3 million per year for 4 years. The cost to property owners in the district would be $222 per $100,000 assessed value in 2025, $218 in 2026, $214 in 2027, and $210 in 2028. The second levy in the Pullman School District would pay for $300,000 in technology capital projects over a 4-year period. The cost would be $11 per $100,000 assessed value between 2025 and 2028. Patrons in the Colfax School District will be asked to approve a $2.14 million 2-year levy for replacement educational programs and operations. Property owners would pay $214 per $100,000 assessed value in 2025 and $217 per $100,000 assessed value in 2026. People seeking further information about other Whitman County special election levies can visit whitmancounty.org. The Washington State University Academic Student Employees Union has ratified its first contract with the WSU administration after 1,500 student employees went on strike earlier this month. The strike January 17th only lasted a few hours before both sides reached an agreement. The WSU Coalition of Academic Student Employees, or WSU CASE, said in a press release Friday, 1,169 union members voted in favor of the new contract and 15 voted against. Union representatives say the agreement includes major pay increases, more affordable health care, longer parental leave, a building fee waiver, and other expanded benefits aimed at fostering equity at the university. The new contract increases pay for student academic employees by 20% and includes a minimum base wage of $2,318 per month for salaried academic student employees in Pullman, with a minimum 5% pay increase within 90 days of ratification. Hourly employees will receive a minimum wage of $17.09 per hour in Pullman. There would also be another 3% increase to all salary and hourly wages by October 1st, 2025. The deal decreases in-network deductibles for health care from $500 to $300 and out-of-network deductibles from $1,000 to $300. The agreement includes 6 weeks paid parental leave with child and dependent care subsidies of $2,025 per semester and $1,550 during the summer. It also includes 12 days paid vacation during a typical 9-month appointment. There would also be paid work-related visa fees for foreign students and a written and enforceable grievance process against harassment, discrimination, and abusive conduct. Washington legislators debated a proposal from the Washington Liquor and Cannabis Board to permit people over 21 years old to grow and keep as many as 6 cannabis plants for personal use. The measure, sponsored by Democratic Representative Shelley Kloba of Kirkland, is similar to a bill from last year which stalled in committee. The state already allows certain medical patients over 21 to grow 6 plants each for personal use. The bill opens up the process to all eligible consumers. Cannabis distributor Lucky Leaf Company owner David Morgan told the committee gardening is a positive stress release activity for good health. Morgan said it's therapeutic to be able to care for your own plants. It's something to do that helps release stress. Representative Kloba said growing cannabis at home does not jeopardize sales in other large retail cannabis stores. She likened home grows to microbreweries' minimal impact on the brewing industry. A 2020 Washington State University study found microbreweries complement the larger brewing market and attract new customers. Morgan said tending to cannabis plants is not easy. It takes time and effort, plus gives people an appreciation of products already on the market. He said growing pot gives people more freedom to choose the type of seeds they want to grow based on the desired genetics. Morgan said Oregon has places which have starter plants to help speed the process and ensure they get the type of plant home growers want. He said seeds are generally affordable but can get expensive depending on the plant breeder. He said it's far less expensive to purchase a seed, but you have to consider the seed to flower. It's a minimum of 3 months of time and energy. Morgan said associated costs for home growers include nutrients, water, and electricity. According to the Leafly website, the cost of growing at home ranges from $4.80 per gram in the first year to $1.34 per gram in subsequent years. Costs for 1 gram of cannabis at Lucky Leaf Company are $12. However, pricing can fluctuate based on quality and market. Under current law, growing cannabis at home without an approved medical reason is a Class C felony, punishable by up to 5 years in prison and a $10,000 fine. Kloba's bill would reduce the infraction to a Class 1 civil infraction and a fine of $250 to $500. If growers are found with more than 16 plants, which is the maximum, the violation would be considered a Class C felony. Morgan warned residents of the dangers associated with grinding down buds to create oil or wax for use in a vaporizer outside a controlled laboratory setting. He said people can cook with it and they can smoke it, but making a vape cartridge or dabs is not a real possibility. Well, that's it for the KRFP Evening Report for tonight. Taking a look at the weather forecast for the Moscow-Pullman area. It will be mostly cloudy tonight, gradually becoming mostly clear with a low of 40. 20% chance of rain after noon tomorrow, patchy fog before noon, otherwise partly sunny, high 53. 20% chance of rain after 10 p.m. Wednesday night, mostly cloudy, low 42, and a 50% chance of rain Thursday, cloudy, high 51. Current temperature 46. If you want to help KRFP keep newscasts like this on the air, plus the newscasts you hear during Morning Mix, the recordings of local events and the public affairs shows, plus the music and arts programming you hear every day on KRFP, be sure to become a member of KRFP. Memberships are $35 a year, $20 for students and low income. You can mail your memberships to KRFP, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. You can also go to the KRFP website, where there's a drop-down box that says Support KRFP. There you can underwrite programming, which is a cost-effective way of letting our listeners know your business supports community radio. You can also adopt a DJ. There's a PayPal option and a Patreon button. And once again, we'll gladly accept checks of any amount at KRFP, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. I'm Lee Robartis. Thanks for listening to the KRFP Evening Report. Flashpoints is up next, and coming up at 7:30, we'll have Rude Awakening in the studio. So stay tuned for that. KRFP Moscow Pullman.
Programming on KRFP is sponsored by Hotchins Drug and Hobby of 307 South Main Street in Moscow. Hotchins features a pharmacy, educational toys, and hobbies. Hotchins also sells and services hearing aids. You can call Hotchins at 208-882-5536.
The Wind, Season 4, broadcast on KRFP.
I know how it feels when you
tune in to Season 4 of The Wind with Phil Corbett.
Smoking marijuana, listening to Judas Priest, contemplating suicide.
I view the Satanic Panic as two different things that are connected.
Me and the devil was walking side by side.
I believe my granddad's at a crossroad in his life.
The Satanic Panic, The Crossroads, Subliminal Messaging, a new series from The Wind. Devil Music, coming soon.
At the heart of it, colonialism needed the devil because it needed to fill up those empty spaces because it wanted to take those empty spaces.
Mondays at 2 p.m. right here on KRFP Moscow Pullman.
If you talk to the average teenager of today and you ask them what it is about rock and roll music that they like, the first thing they'll say is the beat.
Rock music is nothing more than satanic cyanide.
James and Ray were chanting, do it, do it, do it. They did not even know where it came from.
Repeat Wednesday mornings at 12:30 and Saturday mornings at 2 a.m.
New episodes of the Satanic Panic Season 4 of The Wind debut Mondays at 2 p.m.